You ran with some pretty stout women in 71. You, along with Betty Friedan, Gloria Steinem, Fannie Lou Hamer, Shirley Chisholm, Bella Abzug, formed the National Women's Political Caucus.
Yes.
I mean, you were finding your voice big time with them, weren't you?
Yes, that helped. It helped a lot.
Names. Angie DeBow, Oklahoma's great historian.
Yes.
She wrote the book, Still Waters Run Deep. She wrote about the injustice and unfair treatment of Oklahoma Indians and named names of known Indians and how they had taken advantage of children, adults, and their land allotments. I just wanted to insert her name because she was
absolutely
so great.
Yes.
And Scott Momaday.
Yes.
You know him, writer, artist, teacher.
When he got the Pulitzer Prize, we had a book party for him in Washington, D.C., and then he invited us to New York when he received it. So we were with him.
Great.
And he's still a beautiful friend of mine. He's not as well as he was, but he's still there.
And we have him and his oral history on our website, voicesofoklahoma.com. Quickly, the status of Native Americans, status of the Comanche Nation today, 2017, how would you describe it?
Oh, it's just decades of growth and changing things. The way that we were set up, the governments that were imposed on us, the way we governed ourselves created a lot of internal problems. We've looked at that. The eastern Oklahoma was so poor when we started Oklahomans for Indian Opportunity. Now they're the second largest contribution of resources or monies to the state. So everything's changed. It's a whole different world. People are going to college. They're graduating. Tribes are having tribal colleges. All of that is looking to education as one of the arrows you need for your bow. It's changing. It's so radically changed. And that's why we started the Ambassadors Program. Because in those 60s, I had this network of people who had been in the war and poverty programs. We could work with them, and that's how we got so many things done. We don't have that now, so we looked out and we choose young people from 20 to 35 years old to be ambassador. We give them some philosophy. We take them to Washington, D.C. to understand the culture there. We take them on an international trip. And as of this year, half of our class is indigenous people from the U.S. and the other half is from the world. We have Japanese, we have Australian, and of course New Zealand. We are a sister organization in New Zealand, Bolivia, Peru. Really active down there, just so much because Bolivia has an Indian president and we've gone to his inaugurations. We want to be global as well as improving nationally, be part of the global economy.
Pointing out from the 60s to today, the component of casinos came in. Is that good? Is that bad? Does it have both sides? What is your view?
Well, philosophically, I'm against any kind of gaming operation to support your government. But I would fight for the debt for the tribes to do that. And they've done it so well. It's beyond belief. Those tribes that we didn't even know about in California had just come up, and now they're both an economic force as well as a political force. There's problems with it still. Some tribes have disenrolled some of their members because they're getting a little greedy. That's some of the shameful things that comes with it. If people try to ooze people out of their community, they're really losing something terrible when they take that attitude. And that does drive people to, because the gaming is owned by the tribe, by all the population. Every citizen of that tribe is the owner of that operation and has to be well managed. And apparently they've done so well here in eastern Oklahoma. Better than we have on the western side. We have small operations. Comanches have two operations instead of focusing on one and make it as attractive as the tribes have here on the
east. Here we have the Creeks and their
Choctaws.
Spirit Casino, and the Choctaws, the Chickasaws, Cherokees.
Yes. And they're reinvesting, and that's why they've been so...
And they're actually building roads beyond
and hospitals,
ground,
yes.
And hospitals.
And
so
hospitals.
It is good. And buying back land that was probably taken
absolutely
from them one day.
That's the most wonderful thing. And you just see this nationwide. The world has changed here, too, in such a wonderful way. And so that, it's just amazing to talk to young people now. They're all talking about going to school. They're going to college. They're getting careers. We're encouraging them to look internationally as well about the possibilities of working internationally. And also, we want to be a part of solutions because we've been viewed as an Indian problem all our lives. And now we're part of the solution, as the tribes here in Oklahoma have done. They are now part of the economy. They're part of creating new things. that has all changed, and hopefully we've changed enough just keeping ahead of what's happening as we're doing with our international. And that's exciting. We've all learned from each other. Peru and Bolivia, corporations are coming down because all of the new fines are on indigenous land. We have to learn to use indigenous, so that they're having struggles that we had early on with companies. They've invited us down to speak about it, and I've taken a couple of people from here to go with me to tell them how we organize the Council of Energy Resource Tribes and how to negotiate with the government, get them on your side, and help them see it's in their self-interest that the tribe does well and not just be exploited.